بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This entire chapter has been dedicated to the excellence and the virtue of the kalima. The virtue of the kalima can be acquired and experienced in proportion to the ikhlas. And as Shaykh Hamdari writes there, and in order to build this ikhlas, you have to stay in the company of the mashayikh. Unki jutiya seedhi karni padti hai, means to in their service. So you understand that this ikhlas is the thing that builds that merit and the excellence of the kalima. So when ikhlas is the thing that builds the virtue, the significance and the excellence in the kalima, then whatever effort is made in that direction is not sufficient. So, in the company of the mashayikh, there are certain things that are learnt. Right? Like it is the incumbent thing, or the most important thing, is the aspect of ikhlas. And when we talk of ikhlas, we refer to making something absolutely clean and pure. No contamination, no pollution, no adulteration, nothing at all. Absolutely pure. So that kalima should be read in that frame of mind, absolute purity, clean. No hidden agenda, no ulterior motive, nothing else. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Rid the heart of everything else, clean the heart of every ghayrullah. When you say ghayrullah, in other words, your focus and your dependence is on nothing. If it is on anything, then it is on Allah Ta'ala. Absolute focus on Allah Ta'ala. So when you recite the kalima in this frame of mind with total focus on Allah Ta'ala, then your eyes are shifted out of the ghayrullah completely. It's shifted away from ghayrullah. Then this kalima will bring the type of virtue, the type of ikhlas and the type of merit. And when you get that type of merit, then you will find that Allah Ta'ala grants you that acceptance. So this is why we in the Khanqa emphasize so much on the kalima. Recite the kalima repeatedly. Repeat with that frame of mind. Not just as a parrot fashion, but with that frame of mind. Otherwise that parrot, you teach it the kalima, and it will be reciting the kalima all its life. But if the cat has to come and throttle it, it will say nothing more than ta ta ta, and then it will die, right? So what is needed is that we need to learn the ikhlas, the aspect of ikhlas, the sincerity of the kalima. And as I say, ikhlas is something that is unadulterated, unpolluted, uncontaminated, nothing. No intention at all, nothing else. It is only done exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Khanqa by Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib rahmatullahi, this was the thing that was emphasized on. That you come here, you come to the Khanqa, and he will say the same thing but in different words. Sometimes he will say, learn honesty, learn truth, learn sincerity. Sometimes he'll say, learn how to behave as a man, as a human being. So this used to be the essence of his whole teaching. And in the process of you, of him teaching you to be a man, he will bring certain things, he will highlight certain things to those people that are coming to the Khanqa. For example, a person is coming in, then certain things are procedures and standards that are observed everywhere and anywhere. You go to a house or you go to see a person, then you introduce yourself, don't you introduce yourself? And when you introduce yourself, then let it be a complete introduction. Don't let it be a half introduction. For example, you say, I am Bilal, right? Ishaq, from Spingo Beach, and this is the niyat that I have come with. I'm so and so, I hail from such and such a place, and this is the intention that I've come with. So now, when you're coming to the Khanqa, the man that is in the Khanqa, the Shaykh or the Buzurg that is there, he's got a complete and a full picture of the personality that's coming. He doesn't have to ask any questions, right? But he says, no, I'm Bilal. So then what? The story is incomplete. It's deficient. Now he's wanting to know why have you come here. He wants to know where you're coming from. So you give a complete introduction of yourself. I've come here. This is my name. And this is the place I've come from. And this is the purpose that I've come for. So if he says I've come for example, for a ta'weez, then he knows, alright, you came for a ta'weez. There also you must be specific. I came for ta'weez. For example, I get headaches, so I want a ta'weez for a headache. So now the kalam is complete. But you come and say, I want a ta'weez. So again, this kalam and this talk is incomplete. So like you would go to a doctor and you will give the total, you will give the complete story. You won't just say to the doctor, I want an injection. Doctor will ask, now for what? So you rather tell him up front that this is what my problem is and this is why I need an injection. So the kalam is complete. Now this is what Hazrat appreciated, this is what Hazrat would like. And this is what would annoy him. Why aren't you talking completely? See? So when I think about Hazrat interrogating some people, then the reason for him interrogating is not that he likes it, no. But he's teaching us several things. One is to be complete and comprehensive. When you're talking to someone, talk completely. Qulu qawlan sadida, complete, straight talk. Let there not be any ambiguity in the talk. I say, I'm Bilal. So it's ambiguous talk. It's not complete talk. Now the person has to ask where you came from, what's the purpose you have come from. But had you been a little bit considerate, then you would have said yourself that this is the purpose and this is where I've come from. See? So this is the one thing that Maulana would like, that you be complete and be clear. Number two, then in the course of you being clear of what you want, then don't talk in riddles. Now someone comes and he asks the person, alright, you've come to live in the Khanqa. Yes, I've come to live in the Khanqa. For what period? No, I give my whole life the Khanqa. Alright. Then others will ask him, alright, where you will eat from? Allah Pak will provide. Alright, Allah Pak will provide. That means, it was, my asking you was pointless. My asking you this question, where are you going to eat from, is pointless. Because I'm supposed to be doing that Allah provides. If Allah is providing, then why did I ask you? Now you tell me, what work do you do? Say, no, I am a farmer. I do farming for trade. So now speak like this, that you're doing farming. This is, you could have said that Allah provides. Why didn't you say that Allah Ta'ala provides? There you said you're doing farming, and here you're saying Allah Ta'ala provides. So you tell your career what work you're doing. So similarly, I'm asking you now, how long are you going to stay here? have you got any means to supplement your stay here? He said, no, I got means for 10 days. So say that from the very beginning, that I've got so much for 10 days. Don't come with this type of ambiguous story. So this is what Mawlana would like, that you be clear. Be clear in your talk. When it suits you, then you say, Labak will provide. And then when it doesn't suit you, then I come for 10 days. Then one type of answer will be, whatever you say, I'll stay for that period. Whatever you say, then I will stay for that period. The Shaykh also wouldn't like this type of answer. The Shaykh would say, Alhamdulillah, to one who would say that, I came here for whatever period you say, I will stay here. So you say that, see, Mawlana Yusuf in the Markaz, he's my smaller brother. He's his cousin brother, right? He's my younger brother, and he asked for 4 months. I'm his elder brother. So I got the right to ask double his amount. So are you prepared to stay here for 8 months? So no, it's too much for me. But you should have said in the beginning that I've come for 1 month. Why do you say as much as you say? Now when I come and tell you, then you say, no, I can't manage 8 months, I'll manage 1 month. So you say it for the first place that I've come for this period. Why are you talking riddles? No, whatever period you say. As though he's doing a favor to Shaykh now, that whatever Shaykh says, that he will stay for that period, for that duration. So be clear, emphatic, clear, unambiguous. It avoids a lot of confusion, a lot of trouble, a lot of problems unnecessarily. You see that what he's getting out. So that's the second thing, that when you talking, then talk clear in accordance with the Quranic principle, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Two places in the Quran say the same thing appears. فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. When there's clear talk, then very seldom you have problems, right? So this is the one thing that Hazrat would always emphasize upon. Be clear, emphatic, complete. Don't leave anything in suspense. Don't leave anything ambiguous. Then he would say this much also, that see, you've come here to learn insaniyat, to become a man. To become a human being. What you've come here, you've come to become a human being. Now the least expectation of a human being is you don't be in anybody's way. Don't hurt anybody, don't harm anybody. Be it mentally, be it psychologically, be it mental trauma, be it physical, whichever. Don't hurt anybody in any way. Physical, we'll all understand what is meant by don't cause any injury to anybody physically. But even in his emotions, don't hurt him emotionally, don't hurt him in his spirits, in any way don't hurt him, right? For example, now, one person is sitting in the corner in one side of the masjid, reading Quran Sharif. Now, if you go and sit right next to him, or just behind him, does it cause him a little bit of disturbance? Does it cause him or not? See? It will cause him a little bit of disturbance that he's sitting in the corner, and he's being zikr or he's being Quran Sharif tilawat. Now he is doing that in isolation, in total secrecy he's doing it. So if you were to come and sit next to him, you are invading his privacy. He wanted to do it nicely, quietly. He took one corner in the masjid, now you went and sat right next to him. Obviously you are invading his privacy. So don't do this other thing. So if you need to make zikr or tasbih, go into another corner. He's taken one corner, you take another corner. So this is the second thing he would emphasize on, that don't invade on anybody's privacy, don't make him feel emotionally uncomfortable. Right? So if you're sitting behind him or just directly beside him, it's going to emotionally upset him, disturb him slightly. Now he will feel your presence, and because of your presence he won't read as freely as he desired to read. Right? Even if you're waiting for him, then don't wait for him in a way that he knows that you are waiting for him. For example, you're waiting for him and you're sitting here now. So now he's watching you, or this person is waiting for me. So now I need to shorten up, I need to just do my thing so that person can come and do his work. So you don't wait for him in a place that he knows that you are waiting for him. Don't go, don't wait there. So that he wants to make zikr, tilawat, dua, he can do it freely, totally freely. But now he's expecting you, or you come, this person is waiting now. So he'll curtail his dua is affected, his zikr is affected, his tilawat is affected, everything is affected. So you wait from at a point maybe behind the wall or something, you do your Quran Sharif tilawat or nafil namaz, etc. Then you see him, he's free, then you go and see him, you go and talk to him. But now for your need, is it right for you, is it fair that you invade his privacy? Whoever it may be, even it may be a friend, whatever it is, but don't invade that person's privacy. And some people have the habit, they want to see, keep looking at a buzurg, you know, we look at him, you know, one sight at the face of a buzurg, so much of sawab will get, alright? That excellence and virtue is in its place. But now if someone looks at you, stares at you, then do you feel at ease? Someone looking at you all the time now, the eyes are fixed on you, do you feel at ease? You don't feel easy, so don't stare at him. Especially if he knows that you are watching him. Yes, you are looking at him from a place, min haythu la tarawnahum, where he doesn't know that you are looking at him. That's a different thing. Or you're looking at him out of respect, out of love, or whatever it is. But look at him from a place that he doesn't know that you are watching him. So he doesn't feel constrained. But the moment he knows that you are watching him, you are staring at him now, now every movement of his, he's watchful of. Hey, now this person is going to watch me. I'm scratching now, he's going to watch me. Right? And I'm raising my hand, now he's going to watch me. Why did I raise my hand? If he wants to know, what must I tell him? So he's conscious of your observation, of you watching him. So don't look at him in that way. You see, now these are the fine, tiny things. Now how important it is to get this thing right. Now we consider this thing small and insignificant, whereas Islam teaches all these things. Oh, that's the second thing. The third thing, right, now you're getting a hadiah, for example. I'm showing you now some of the etiquettes that Mawlana would normally teach. Right. You're getting a present maybe for the buzurg or for anybody else. Doesn't have to be for the buzurg, anybody else. So now it's right of you to tell him that I desire to give you a present. Right. Especially if there isn't that degree of informality. One is there's a degree of informality, alright, that's a different thing. But when there isn't a degree of informality, then you tell him that I wish to give you a present. Is it alright with you? Are you comfortable with it? And what type of present would you prefer? Now, when you have told him, or you have obtained the permission from him, and he has told you, alright, this is what I would prefer, then both sides it would be taken very, very respectfully and very, very warmly it will be taken. But now you feel, no, I want to give him a topi. Alright. Now imagine there's 500 people coming to him and everybody thinks the same, 500 topis. So what is he going to do with so many topis? So you ask him, I want to give you something, so what would you prefer? Sometimes, as a Shaykh Ramtai, Adam Bashai, alright, what value of topi you want to give me, say 5 rand, 10 rand, rather give it to me in cash. Because then I have a choice of doing what I want. Alright, you give me 10 rand cash, perhaps I don't need a topi, right? Perhaps I need to have a trouser, I'll buy a trouser perhaps. Or I need to have a socks, so I'll purchase a socks. But now you gave me a topi now, and it's all beyond and much more than what I need. When it's more than my need, what must I do with it now? See? In the meanwhile, you won't see me wearing that topi that you have given me as a gift. So you'll feel, I gave that topi, what happened to the topi? You're watching now. My topi is going to come now. Where my topi is going to come? But you didn't realize now, everybody's thinking the same. See, they say about Shah Jahan, I think it was, yeah. So, his pawn was emptied, you see. So he made a royal announcement that everybody must get one bucket of milk and refill my pond. See, so all worried now. So one person felt, you know what, I'll go and deposit mines at night, and in place of milk, I'll just put water. So who will know? From 5,000 buckets of milk, one bucket would be of water, who will know? So he went and emptied his bucket of water into that pond. In the morning, they discovered it was 5,000 buckets of pure water. Because everybody thought the same. So the better way is to ask, all right, I want to give this. Is that acceptable? Would you like this? So now he also knows, all right, this is what I need. I'd rather take this than taking this, right? Here also people would play the trick with Mawlana. Well, the more Mawlana would make some conditions, and people would make more and more complications. So one person said, no, mere yaha palantor. Palantor is a type of a mithai, right? Ek palantor banta hai, bahut acha umda banta hai. To Hazrat isko qubool farmaye. Alright, I'll accept it. Just make three pieces, you know. There's three of us living in the house, me and my two wives. So three pieces will be enough. Now that palantor is like, you know, like how we have nankatai. You saw the nankatai? It's that big. So make three of that. One I will have, one each of my families will have. This person came with 3 kilos of palantor. Three pieces. He made 3 cakes of it. And as he came, he stepped into the khanka and he gave that letter. Mawlana says, you can bring 3 palantor. So there's a permission. What is this? 3. This is 3. So he says, Hazrat, my heart's desire to bring 20, but you restricted me to bring only 3. So only brought 3. That instead of making it the nankatai size, he made it so big. See? So Mawlana to make all his conditions fall now, because it becomes a weighty thing, a burdening thing. Now what must I do with all these mithais now? I got 3 now. I know. All right, there's 3, and 3 of us will share it. I will have 1. She will have 1, and the third person will have 1. It's finished. Over. Cast. It's out of the system. That's the third thing. The fourth thing I would like also is you watch your kalam. You know, the kalam, your speech, you must be watchful of your kalam. One person came and he's sitting there in the majlis, and he says, Hazrat, mujhe bhi ek aur taweez de dete. Mujhko bhi ek aur taweez de dete. Hazrat, you should have given me also 1 taweez. So Allah asked him, me also? Alright, me, give me 1 taweez, that's understood. But also, what was the need for adding this word also? What was the need for adding this word also? Now this person is ghabrat now. The interrogation process has started now. He's got ghabrat now. So Mawlana didn't like all these things. See, talk simply and talk straightforward, clear. What was the need for you to add the word also here? See? Now Mawlana was not doing this for a bioscope or to scrutinize his people. Mawlana was getting the kalam right, the talk right, understand and speak right. Otherwise, now that person says, why did he use the word also? If he wanted 1 taweez, right, give me, I request 1 taweez. But see, enough. But give me also 1 taweez. What was the need for that? Right. So that was the third thing that Mawlana was very particular about. That you come, and what your request is, you say it clearly. Clearly, simple words. You don't have to make any fancy story, you know that. Clear and simple words. Then the fifth thing Mawlana wanted also, he desired, that when you speak, speak clearly and audibly. Now you speak so softly, he can't understand what you're saying. But what are you saying? 2-3 times you have to ask. So you come and speak audibly, speak clearly. So if you speak clearly, speak audibly, now that person got no problem in listening to you. So he's training you that tomorrow you're going out somewhere else you're going. That person doesn't experience any taklif. So you know how to conduct yourself, you know how to say things. So that was the fourth thing. The fifth thing, Mullah was particular also. When a person would come, he would arrive at the khanqa, then Mullah would ask him, what have you come for now? If you've come for anything else, then please tell me now. He said, no, mahas aapki ziyarat ke liye aaye hai. You only come to visit you, nothing else. Now he stays for the whole majlis. And after the end of the majlis, Mullah, Hazrat, mujhe tabiz bhi de do. Now he says, Hazrat, I request one tawiz. But I ask you in the first place, do you need anything? Must I make anything for you? At that time you were quiet, you were absolutely still. Now, when that time has already passed to make tawiz and all, now you're asking me to make tawiz. The time I had asked you should have told me at that time, my mind is at ease. You see now, all these things he's speaking about, why he's speaking about these things, that we normally make these mistakes. When we go anybody, if we go anywhere, we go and visit anybody, we don't think about these things, that the type of strain and the type of burden we are creating on that person. But if you just speak straight, clear, unambiguous, that person doesn't go through any strain. Right, that was the fifth thing that he was very, very particular about. Then, he was also very, very particular that everything must be placed, replaced from the place it was taken from, right? For example, now in India, at that time they didn't have this municipal water. So you're going to the toilet or anything, so you take one jug, and the jug is left in one common place, you take the jug, you fill the water, and go to the toilet. So now, after you've used the jug, don't leave it in the toilet. Leave it at the common place, wherever it's left, because the next person is going to search for it from that place. And you left it in the toilet, he's looking for the jug at that point. So you cause that person inconvenience. Leave it in one place, he's easy, you easy, everybody knows that the jug is in the one place, one spot, and I need to pick it up, and he'll pick it up from that point. So this was some of the highlight of Mawlana's khanqa and how he would like people to talk, see. Then the newcomers and new arrivals, he would also tell them that see how the whole majlis operates. Don't just ask questions. Sometimes the question doesn't befit you. It doesn't behove you for asking this question. Now he's sitting with Mawlana, the new arrival, and he's asking, making a tahqeeq, for example. He's making an investigation now that how many Sahaba-i-Kiram, for example, were martyred in the Battle of Badr. Now, Mawlana is saying, alright, say for example, if I don't show you this much, does it affect your life in any way? Right? And does it affect the maqsad that you have come here with? You have come here with a certain purpose. If you don't know this, does it affect your purpose of coming here? So it doesn't affect the purpose for which you have come here, then why are you asking this? That you can go and learn later on as well. But now you see in your stay here, right, in your stay here, in the duration that you are here, what you have come for, what is the theme for, and what is the maqsad, what is the purpose that you have come for. See that you are focused on the maqsad, on the purpose that you have come for, and don't let your mind stray away. Either, udar. You'll ask about 10 things, but what you came for, that you're not asking about. Now, if Mullah starts asking about it, or telling about it, so many people came at Badr. Now, 2 years later, he said, Mawlana, I got bimari, I got a sickness of hasad and jealousy. So if Mawlana didn't keep these people focused, then they will speak about the sickness 2 years later. But he's keeping him focused by talk about this thing here. Talk about your Islah and talk about your reformation. Don't talk idhar udhar ki baat hai. Talk about your Islah. So as they come now, a fikr has been already created in the person's mind that I have come here for a short period and I need to understand what I've come for. Let me be focused. I got hasad in myself. I got jealous in myself. And I've come to rectify and I've come to correct myself. So I must be focused. I must ask Mawlana that this is my problem. Right? And for many people, Mawlana will look for very easy ways of rectifying them, correcting them. One person told him, one alim, nice, respectable person, he says, I've got takabbur in me, and I've got pride and arrogance that you recommend something for me. So all Mu'a told him is, is mazmoon ka khat paanch martaba mere upar likho. The same, what you're speaking about, a letter with the same contents, send it to me 5 times. Now, this week, and send one letter, then after a month or 2 months, send another letter. Alhamdulillah, with that, sending that 5 letters, the 5th letter, that pride and that arrogance was out of his tabiat. He kept on writing it one time, and the second time, and the 3rd time. By the 5th time that he had written the same letter to Mawlana, that pride and arrogance was out of his tabiat. See, so he looked for very simple and easy methods for cleansing the person, rectifying him and correcting him. Now the hikmat of Mawlana asking him to adopt this approach was, if he's going to ask, he's going to think about it, right, for the 1st time, 2nd time. Now I say, hey, I must get this thing out of my tabiat, man. And the 3rd time when he writes, hey, now this thing is destroying me. And the 4th time that thing will be destroyed, that pride will be destroyed. See. So Mawlana will look and recommend easy methods how that person can cleanse himself from this type of problems. So that is why Mawlana will want that when you come here, then talk about those things that affect you, that you come normally to the Khanqah for. Khanqah normally you'd come for your rectification. One person came, now he is in the Khanqah and he's making tahqiq about performing Jummah namaz in the village. In a village, a small village, it's not a town, then you cannot perform Jummah namaz, right? So he's making tahqiq. And he's got fatwas, about 50 fatwas from different institutes. So Mawlana learnt about it. Mawlana says, but you come here to the Khanqah not for these reasons. And remember, if you were to go engaging in this thing here, then this is not going to bring any betterment to you. In fact, it will darken your heart. Go and burn all this thing here and then come. And as per the instruction of Mawlana, he went and burnt all that and he came. Tomorrow, definitely, I found a change in my heart. When I was writing all these tahqiqat and getting all these fatwas from different places, and I was feeling very great of myself. Hey, so many tahqiqat from here, from this madrasa, that Mufrisab, and that Mawlana. So I was feeling very elated. I was feeling very, very great of myself. Then when I burnt it, I said, hey, I'm nothing. I thought, I'm nothing, man. Now I began to feel as though I'm on earth. Otherwise I was thinking, now I'm in the heavens already. See? So, yeh toh apne kamal ke muntaha samajh rahe the. He was thinking, I'm very great. And when Mawlana asked him to do this, now he came onto earth. So that humility and that aspect of tawazu came and settled in him. So these were some of the highlights of this Talabon Khanqah. Mawlana wanted that fikr must be transferred onto that person that came in that very beginning. You know, straight away the fikr must start. He must be very clear in his approach. He must tell what he's come for. Don't be ambiguous, right? And then don't harm anybody. Anybody for that matter, don't harm him. Don't cause a little bit of pain. Now you look at any of our masjids, right? Look at the masjids. And how much of taklif we caused, right? Now you come at the last minute and you just park somewhere. Now, you got so engrossed in your namaz, now you forgot about everything, you're in the masjid. Now that person that came out of the masjid after his first namaz for some work or the other, I said, hey, who came and jammed me up? See, now, can you see the ta'lim of Mawlana? Mawlana's instruction that don't hurt anybody. If that ta'lim was gone deep into you, you wouldn't have done this. You wouldn't have incorrectly parked your motor car. Right? Now you came into the masjid, for example, and you're squeezing your place into the first surf. First surf is already full, but now you're squeezing your place. Somehow you're jumping over someone else, coming this way, that way, and you squeeze yourself. Now the person that is on your right and the person is on your left, they're finding a little bit of a squeeze, you know. They're finding a little bit of a squeeze, and you give them a dirty look. And so, what are you complaining about? Ekto, you're doing a wrong thing. You're squeezing yourself. Then you're giving them a dirty look as though, you know, you are wrong, I am right. Now, it doesn't end there. Now you're going to sajda, right? When you're going to sajda, you die first. Then they can come and do the sajda later on. It's alright. Let me go and die first into the sajda. Understand? So, yeah, kis qadar ghalat baat hai? It's not right at all. Then you think, oh, I got the first serve. Hey, bravo. I got the first serve. You know, first serve, so much of fazilat, so much of sawab. By fazilat nahi hai, to guna hua aapko. You cause taklif to the person on your right. You cause taklif to the person on your left. You look at the fazilat, you didn't look at the guna that you have caused, the pain that you caused on the person that's on the right, pain that you caused on the person that is left. You thought about the fazilat, but you didn't look about the hurt that you caused. So if you wanted to be the first, come early to the masjid. Come early to the masjid, don't inconvenience anybody, come and sit. Such a respectful atmosphere, why must you cause a commotion like a market? A market rushing, somehow you're just getting in. That's a marketplace. It's a taxi or a kumbi that you're jumping in, bus that you're jumping in. That's how you behave there. But here it's the house of Allah Ta'ala, you come with respect, in a dignified way. Alaykum bil waqar, alaykum bis sakina. When you come to the house of Allah Ta'ala, then with waqar, with respect, in a dignified way, as though it's the house of Allah Ta'ala, you're coming with respect. Right? So now this is the fifth thing that Mawlana is quite concerned about. Now if you have put all these things of Mawlana in place, then you won't cause anybody pain. Nobody. You'll feel as though when you're coming into a masjid or you're residing in an area, you feel like you're living in Jannat, you know. In Jannat. Bahisht aja bashad ke kase ba kase kare na bayad kase ba kase. Since Jannat is what? Jannat is that place where nobody experiences any pain at the hands of the other. Right? I don't experience pain at your hands, you don't experience pain in my hand. So I feel very comfortable and relaxed, you feel very comfortable and relaxed. So that place becomes like the atmosphere of Jannat. Nobody feels any pain. Right? That is the second thing. The third thing, what I was also very particular about, you see, you keep your things in such a way that nobody has to come and look after your things. Right? Now, for example, the wind is blowing, right? And you got your papers here. And you go on to do some work. Now the papers are all getting scattered now. Someone is worried, hey, some papers are all getting scattered, let me put it together. So that was your negligence. With your papers, you know there's a wind out, and your papers will be all blown away. So see that it's packed up in such a place, in such a way, that nobody has to take care of your stuff. But now you, unmindful, and others have to take care of your stuff. Is that what your deen teaches you? It's not. See, these are all basic things, very, very basic things, common things, logical, sensible things, but we don't think like that. Mawlana says that in one state in India, one new Muslim, white, and he saw that the drain where they make wuzu, you know, and some mucus was left there. So the new Muslim felt a little bit uncomfortable. What's this? So the Imam Sahib of the masjid is saying, "Ah, Musliman to ho gaya, lekin angreziyat abhi tak nahi nikli." What? Imam Sahib is saying, he became a Muslim, but that English blood of his has not changed yet. Whereas Islam is teaching you, by you use that wuzu place in such a manner that the next person doesn't feel taklif. You loaded the place up with mucus, and you, as though you feel that Islam teaches this. You leave the place in such a way that the next person feels comfortable. You see the swid there, or your mucus there, and you see that you wash it down, that the next person comes to use the place, he doesn't feel difficult. The mucus is just one example that really happened, right? But the same will apply to a toilet, right? And you use the toilet in such a manner that the next person doesn't feel inconvenienced. Now you used the toilet and you left your trademark there now. Now the next person, hey, what this person is doing, you know? Another person come and scratch head. Right? That's not the way. See, these are all Islamic things. All Islamic. If you look at the Hadith and the Quran Sharif, you'll find exactly the same things are being taught to us. These are the things of Islam. And we feel it doesn't belong to Islam, it's some English people's tali. It's not English people's tali. It's not English people's tali, it's Islamic tali. Remember, sometimes we begin to see, or see this non-Muslim and see the respect he's got for time. Made a commitment that he'll be with you. He doesn't move away from his commitment. This, you know, this sugar estates, I give the story sometimes, previous also. The sugar estates, one of the directors, some Armstrong it was, Tonga outside. So he had his second hand car for sale. So one Hindu came and he says, "Mr. Armstrong, I'm interested in purchasing the car, but I can't pay you cash, I'll pay you over 3 months or 4 months." "Alright, the car is yours, I'll wait for it. I'll wait for the money, you pay the money and you take the car away." In the meanwhile, the next person came and he says, "I'll double the money, I'll give it to you cash, give me the car." Now this Armstrong says, "No, no, see, I've given my word to that Hindu. He's going to pay me over 4 months, and half the price that you are talking about, but I've given him my word, I'm going to honor it. I'm not going to turn away from this." So money was not the criteria, the principle, the promise. That is why Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, you see, these are the principles that were taught to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a Muslim is going to apply the principles, he will be honored. If a kafir is going to apply the principles of Nabi Sallam, he'll be honored. It's principles taught by who? By Nabi Sallam. Whoever is going to adopt that principle, he'll be honored. The principle there is, what was your promise? What was your word? Don't turn away from your word. Don't ever turn away from your word. One is ambiguity, and number two is, don't turn away from your word. You have given the man your word, then stick to it, then remain by your word, then don't move away from it. Now, up till now, we speak so highly of that person, although he's a kafir, non-Muslim, whatever it is, but he took that principle of Nabi Sallam, now that made him worthy of praise. So, yeah, hamare ghar ki cheeze hai, kafiron ne le li, and we feel that no, that these people have brought this thing up. No, it's not their thing, it's our thing. But they have taken it. And they've taken it, so they are worthy of praise. If you take it, you will be praiseworthy. Right? These are all simple, basic etiquettes. Simple etiquettes, basic etiquettes. Right? That apply to us all the time. Right? Mawlana also had a system that if he gave somebody any work, like I asked you to post a letter, so you come and report to Mawlana that letter has been posted. You ask me to post the letter, I've already posted it. So also, otherwise now, you posted the letter. And Mawlana is waiting, I don't know if this man posted the letter or not. See, you keep the person in suspense. Is that right? Not right. You either go and post the letter and finish it up and come and tell him, or if you haven't posted it, then tell him that I haven't posted it. So he knows what to do, but you posted it and you don't even come and report that I have done this, you leave the man in suspense. Now that feeling of suspense is not right. Right? In a film or a show, you have suspense, it's all right, it's a different thing. Right? It's not a film, it's not a novel that you're reading. Right? Right? So these are all simple things, but all effective things. All necessary things. Now you are traveling, for example, right? You are traveling. Now you think to yourself that what is required for me, by me in my journey, in the duration of my journey, what I will require. It's a lengthy suffer. So you require some food. If you're traveling by train, you require some food, some water, etc., whatever. So you take all these things with you. Some warm clothing. Now it's winter, so you require some warm clothing, all that. So now you're traveling like this, so you're not a burden on anybody. Otherwise, now it's winter, you didn't take any clothing. So, no, hey, I'm brave. See, the English people, they don't carry any additional clothes. You only see the Afrikaners, cold winter's morning, they can wear a half-sleeve shirt with short pants. They can do, why can't I do it? But you're not so strong. So you can't take these things there. Why you pretend to be that? Don't pretend to be. What you are, you can't manage that, you can't manage. You take all your warm clothing, you take your food, you take your water. Throughout the journey, you won't be a burden on anybody else. But you don't do these things here. Now the sati will feel, this person is feeling, he's shivering in the cold, let me help him out, let me give him his jacket. Other person said, let me give him all my additional shoes or my socks or something, let him feel comfortable. But now you created this situation because you didn't think. So these are all the khulasa, some of the highlights of Mawlana's talim. See, his talim, how you conduct yourself in public, in private, amongst people, in your individual zindagi, how you conduct yourself. Right? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.